Ramsey TV.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of MZTV. I'm Martin Zander, and I'm your host into this extravaganza. It's a scriptural extravaganza. Extravaganza, if you wish. Someone might be asking, why the violent title? Why do you have to say it that way? Settle on the truth and murder the alternatives. Why do we have to murder him? Because there is always a tendency, and I see it in the body of Christ with some people. There's always a tendency to want to always seek. I've touched on this before. There's such a thing as over-seeking. There's such a thing as, like, you know, those people who just go to college all the time, and they never quite graduate from college to get a job and settle down. They're always in school because they just want to delay, right, adulthood, basically. So they're eternal students. That always sounds good. Well, I'm attending, you know, Florida State University. Oh, that's very impressive. How long have you been there? 18 years. Do you ever plan on graduating? No, of course not. You see, it sounds good at first. And it sounds good to say, look, I'm an investigator in the scriptures. I'm always seeking. I'm always looking. I'm always keeping an open mind. I'm like a Berean, you know. I'm always checking out to see if these things are so. All these things I just mentioned are scripture passages, but this can be abused to keep one from landing on the truth and being rooted and grounded in the truth. People are hesitant. Some people are hesitant to be rooted and grounded in the truth because then they have to be sure of something. And how many times have I heard this excuse? Well, I was wrong in the past. I was so sure of what I believed when I was a Christian, so I don't want to fall into that trap again. Yeah, but you're not a Christian anymore. You see, it's this, I don't want to be too adamant. I don't want to be too sure. I don't want other people to feel bad for having another opinion. I always want to be open and hear other people's opinions. No. No, this is not Paul's recommendation to you. It's not my recommendation to you. I believe in being settled, being grounded. Paul has another name for this pseudo-intellectual seeking. It's called being blown about by every wind of teaching. You see, there's a fine line between study to show yourself approved and being blown about by every wind of teaching. See, isn't teaching good? Oh, I'm listening to all sorts of teachings. Isn't that good? Not necessarily, especially not after you've landed on the truth. Martin, but how do I know I have the truth? What do you believe? Does it glorify God and Christ? Then it's the truth. Can you find it in Scripture? Are there verses that say what you believe? That's really handy to have. It's nice to have verses. If you have verses that back up what you say in a rightly translated Scripture, and if it gives glory to God in Christ and generally takes glory away from humanity, then it's the truth. And once you have the truth, you murder the alternatives. I didn't invent this phrase. I heard this 25 years ago, probably 30 years ago now, from Ray Prinzing. And it startled me to hear that word, murder the alternatives. Murder the alternatives, just like it startled you. That's why I put it in the title there. Yes, because if you don't, then you can be led away and you become an Athenian. And I see this a little bit in the body of Christ, not with the majority by any means, but there's this, what I call Athenianism. Maybe I'll coin that phrase today, that term. Athenianism is referring back to Paul in Acts 17 when he's in Athens. And Luke, who was writing the account, characterizes Paul's audience as those who just always wanted to hear something new. They wanted to hear the latest thing. They wanted their ears to be tickled. They wanted their intellect to be titillated. And there's nothing more boring than believing the same thing for years and years and years and years. How boring can you get? And yet that is what is meant by being established in the teaching. And that is what is meant by not being blown about by every wind of teaching. And the greatest compliment I have received is that, Martin, you're saying the same thing today that you said 30 years ago. You're saying the same thing. Some people would say, oh, I'm sorry. Let me get more exciting. Let me try to find something new. No, that's a great compliment because the truth is consistent. I have not wavered on major truths. When I have changed a belief, and all my changes have been fine-tuned. I haven't jettisoned like Dan Sheridan. I haven't jettisoned like the sovereignty of God. Like Martin no longer believes in the sovereignty of God. Can you imagine hearing that? Martin Center no longer believes that God is in control of everything. He believes in human free will. Or that's what happened with Dan Sheridan and Ted McDivitt. But no longer believed in the sovereignty of God. Rick Farwell, same thing. No longer believed in the sovereignty of God. You're never, no. I found, you know why? Because those guys, apparently, they weren't ever rooted and grounded in the truth, and they availed themselves to winds of teaching, maybe under the guise of being Bereans, under the guise of showing themselves approved, but in actuality, being Athenians. Practicing Athenianism, that is wanting to hear something new, something more exciting. And so they avail themselves to these foreign winds. Not here, not here. But whenever I have adjusted my teaching, my belief, and my teaching on something, it is based on Scripture. And I'm going to tell you something I heard in the body of Christ. I'm not going to say who it's from, but it's a public comment that is alarming to me. And then I'm going to give you an example of something I've changed on, but I'm going to show you what it was based on. Okay, before I get started here, sounded kind of like I already got started, doesn't it? Yesterday's video, I have to say this, please forgive me, but it's a masterpiece. The Rodney Parris, Martin Zender video I was invited to something, I think it's called the Covenant Church in Irving, Texas, back in 2002. Mike Spradlin was the pastor there. And I gave an address about the first three verbs in the Scriptures. The title of the talk was, God Supplies Our Lack. And I hadn't heard it in years. And when I heard it, saw it in conjunction with Rodney's video, I was just getting kind of Pentecostal in here. I was praising God. It was beautiful. It was a masterpiece, I have to say. That's it. This one will stand for the eons. So if you haven't seen it, it's very important truth here about God's, and this will really comfort you. And I've said it here before, but the way I said it in Irving, Texas in 2002 was pretty damn good. It's nice to know that God keeps doing the same things, that God is in a routine, that God is predictable. There's someone else who doesn't blow around with every wind of teaching. God. I am the Lord, I change not. He doesn't change. Jesus Christ, the same today, tomorrow, and for the eons. That's good. That's good. We don't want new teaching. Sometimes I think that some of these new teachings that come into the body of Christ are people that are Athenians. They want something new. They want to be known for bringing something new. Maybe they're trying to make a name for themselves. I don't know. I'm here to make a name for Christ and for God and to stick to it. Yes, stubbornly. And the only way I'll change is if I see a scripture or if I see a translation issue. One quick example has to do with, you know, the twinkle of an eye will be changed in the twinkle of an eye at the last trump, 1 Corinthians 15. I never liked that word in the Concordant version, twinkle. It just sounded so juvenile, not very scriptural at all. To come to find out, it's not scriptural at all. And I would like to, I keep meaning to write Tony Nungesser about this. That word, every other place it's used in another form is translated toss or casting. So I want to make a pitch today in public to Tony Nungesser of the Concordant Publishing Concern. Is there any way that in the next version of the Concordant Literal New Testament, we can get twinkle the heck out of there? It doesn't belong there. It's a terrible translation. It has no foundation whatsoever in the Greek. It doesn't take us toward any sort of truth. It was Knox's concession to the King James Version. Another concession of Knox to the King James Version was using the word cross. He knew it wasn't a cross. It was a pole. It was a stake. It was a standard. But for the sake of people not thinking he was completely crazy, we've got to keep cross. But twinkle? No. It's the casting or the tossing of an eye. I've given many talks on this. And I will implore Mr. Nungesser, who is a friend of mine and who watches this show. Hi, Tony. Is it possible to get twinkle out of the CLNT? Okay. It's an anomaly. It's a freak of nature. It doesn't belong there. And it doesn't give us anything toward the truth. Where tossing does. Tossing suggests a desperation, a throwing our eye toward where he is. And light is faster than sound, right? The living are changed by the tossing of an eye. The dead are changed by the trumpet, because the trumpet wakes them up. But we are already awake. We're already alive. And we cast our eye, or we toss our eye. And as I said many times, I've looked at the context of all the places the word ripe appears. And the only two translations for that word are casting or tossing. So let's do it. What do you say? Let's do it. So I've changed by looking at translations, and I've changed if somebody shows me scripture. Oh, but anyway, the show is linked. The show from yesterday is linked down here. If you haven't seen it, please watch it. Send it to your friends. It is foundational. I'm thankful to God for it. I'm here in front of you today for the unity of the Spirit, that we may all be of one mind, that we may all be founded on the same things. I know it's a pipe dream, because Paul says there must be sects among you. And we talked about a sect recently, the sect that doesn't believe that Jesus Christ pre-existed. That's really a good example. I'm going to use that as an example, actually. I'm not going to get into that teaching again, but I'm going to use it as an example of people who are blown about by winds of teaching and are changing for the wrong reasons. And I'm going to give you two wrong reasons, and you're going to see it. And of course, I'm going to name names, but this is in the interest of the unity of the Spirit. Paul would have us come to believe, all believe one thing. Ideally, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, Paul speaks of endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit with the tie of peace, one body, one Spirit, according as you were called, also with one expectation of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. This is within the body of Christ, within the body of Christ. Because even while Paul was writing this, there was another expectation, another faith, and another baptism, and it was that of the circumcision. But within the body of Christ, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Some would split up the body of Christ into factions. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Verse 7. Ephesians 4, now to each one of us was given grace in accord with the measure of the gratuity of Christ. Wherefore he is saying, ascending on high, he captures captivity and gives gifts to mankind. Let us, for the sake of time here, let me go down to verse 13. Ephesians 4, 13. Unto the end, that we should all attain to the unity of the faith and of the realization of the Son of God. And actually, this teaching on whether or not Christ existed before Bethlehem, this concerns the realization of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure of the stature of the complement of Christ, that we may by no means still be minors. And here is a characteristic of minors, those who are young in the faith, surging hither and thither, being carried about by every wind of teaching, by human caprice, human whim, this guy wrote an amazing article, or human, hey, this guy made a YouTube video, watch this YouTube video. See, I am not for watching YouTube videos, believe it or not, listen to this, I'm not for watching YouTube videos or reading articles. I'm for scripture and the word of God. If somebody writes something pointing me to a scripture, pointing me to a correct translation, I'm all in. But if I'm supposed to listen to somebody talk, I'm not going to form my doctrine on that. I can be encouraged. That's what I'm doing here. I can be encouraged. I can be instructed in the word of God, but you're not going to base your doctrine on the way I talk, on how many words I use, on my vocabulary, on the fact that I have 3,000 videos on YouTube. You're not going to base it on that. You're not going to base it on any reputation that I have or any reputation that any other person has. You're going to base it on the Word of God. That we may by no means still be minors, surging hither and thither, being carried about by every wind of teaching, by human caprice, that is by impulsive moods, by craftiness with a view to the systematizing of the deception. Verse 16, out of whom the entire body, that's us, the body of Christ, being articulated together and united through every assimilation of the supply in accord with the operation in measure of each one's part, is making for the growth of the body, for the upbuilding of itself in love. Folks, let me remind you of something here. No matter what controversy we get into, and the latest one is the preexistence of Christ, and those who don't believe in the preexistence of Christ, I made up a name for them, the Tories, T-O-R, Trinity Overreactors. I love the people who have gone off into this sect. I love them. They're my friends. I keep having to say this and remind everyone of this, that this is about teaching. This is an extremely important teaching. And those who are going off into this sect that would say Jesus Christ didn't exist until he was born in Bethlehem, they've gone off into a sect that is destructive, but I still love them. They're still in the body of Christ. But this is the fourth worst teaching there is, in my mind. The fourth worst teaching there is. Number one, eternal, it's a tie between, now, I always have to say human free will. And human free will, the belief thereof, it keeps one from being in the body of Christ. Eternal torment, of course. Eternal torment drives most people into human free will. Human free will is the killing teaching. And of course, the Trinity exempts one from being in the body of Christ because it has to do with the death of Christ. Trinitarians say, of course, Jesus Christ is God, therefore he cannot die. Or he's an essential part of a triune God. These things will keep people from being in the body of Christ. I don't think eternal torment by itself will, but eternal torment drives normal people, that is, with the exception of Calvinists, who are not normal people, into free will, which is a killing doctrine in both the evangel, the circumcision, and the uncircumcision. But the fourth worst teaching is that Christ was not the image of God. Christ is not what he says he was. firstborn of all creation. Anyway, we've been through that. Christ did not empty himself to take the form of humanity. See, this is a very damaging teaching to Christ. Paul's saying it right here. What's Paul's concern? That we should all attain to the unity of the faith and the realization of the Son of God. We need to realize who the Son of God is. And to think he just came into existence by no will of his own, like us, is a terrible mistake. And the fact that I spent so much time in the past correcting the mistake and imploring my friends who have gone this way, it's tough love. My love is not sentimental. I mean, it can be and sometimes is, but here it's tough love. I don't want these people to stand at the dais of Christ and be caught with this teaching. It's just horrible. It's going to be burned up. And as soon as they see Christ, it's going to be like, Christ is the origin of the creation of God. Okay? So I'm trying to spare these people a terrible conflagration. They'll be saved as through fire. As through fire. This teaching's that bad. But anyway, that's not the topic today, is it? The topic is finding the truth, staying with the truth, and not being blown about. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, talks about the discusser of the aeon. Where's the discusser of the aeon? People like to discuss, and I'm trying to disabuse people of this. 2 Timothy 3:7, forever learning, some are, and yet never coming to a realization of the truth. Forever learning. It seems noble. It's always learning, but not coming to a realization of the truth, being rooted and grounded and founded. And I'm basing this on all this teaching on one comment that I read, and I'm going to get to it very soon here. Now that I'm 20 minutes into the talk. So, a brother. No need to mention his name. It's a public comment. I could mention his name, but that's okay. He said something that really alarmed me. And it disturbed me. And he said this. I was quite convinced. I'm paraphrasing him except for the quite convinced part. I was quite convinced in the pre-existence of Christ. Right on, dude. Yeah, why were you? Probably because of all the scripture verses that mention it. But then, okay, what then what happened? But then, he said, and I'm quoting now, but then I read Aaron Welch's article. I'm like, oh, no. You know, at least say, but then I discovered a new scripture verse. Then I discovered a translation problem in the Greek. Those are the only two things I would accept. But then I read Aaron Welch's article. This is the very definition of someone who is blown about by every wind of teaching. They're not perfected by the scripture. They're not perfected by the truth, but they're blown about by every wind of teaching. And this individual also said he was disappointed in me for not continuing to debate Aaron Welch. Wouldn't that be exciting? Everybody pop some corn. It's the Battle of the Titans. Martin Zender is going to take on Aaron Welch point for point. Everybody gather around. This is going to be fun. And that's what my friend was interested in. Not fun, but he wanted to. It was an Athenian type response. And he wanted me to do this. And I refused to do it. I already did it. I already went against that teaching. I wrote newsletters concerning it. I've been talking about it and talking about it and bringing verses. I don't even want to be talking about it. Nobody should be changed by me making a video. They should be changed by the scriptures that I bring up. The reason my friend once was quite convinced concerning the preexistence of Christ was because of all the scriptures that mention it. But to be to change because of an article. An article of many, 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 many words. An article of human caprice. An article of someone trying to convince someone by reasoning, by wandering trails of words. No. And then I realized something. It's the same thing with videos. You know how many people have sent me videos and said, "Oh, Martin, you got to watch this guy. He's so bad." Or, "Martin, you got to watch this lady's teaching. She just really goes after you. She hates you." Or, "Martin, this person is so wrong. You just got to watch this." And I'm very, very politely, I say, "No, I'm not going to watch it." No. Because I'm not a discusser. I'm not a person who wants to spend his time in endless debates, or like Paul would say, endless genealogies, kind of a related thing, kind of. I'm not going to debate Aaron Welch because I don't want to give the suggestion of legitimacy to his position. His position is that Jesus Christ did not exist before he was born in Bethlehem. I don't want to give legitimacy to that by arguing it. I already did. It's wrong. It's terrible. And I'm not going to give it the respect of a platform. No. "Oh, Martin, you're just scared." Yeah, right. "Oh, you can't do it, Martin." Yeah, right. Of course. Yes. You know me. Of course. Part of me would like, "Yeah, let's go, baby." No, I'm not going to do it. Because I'm not going to feed the lusts of discussers. And when I thought of this, when I was thinking about these things, I realized something profound. Now I'm going to get to the teaching itself. I'm going to close here, believe it or not. Did you know that there is not one verse that the people who are insisting on the non-preexistence of Christ, the Tories, they don't have one verse that supports their position, not one. Amazing. They don't have one verse. I mean, I never said this before. It hit me. There's not one verse. They don't have one verse. They can't point to a verse. That should be a red flag to anybody even considering this. Where's your verse? They don't have a verse. What do they have? They have verbosity and philosophy. Aaron Welch is the president of the verbosity department, and Peter May is the president of the philosophy department. That's all they have. What do we have? We have verses. We have verses. "Before Abraham was, I am." John 8:48. "Father, glorify me with the glory I had with you before the world was." "Christ, through whom God makes the eons." Hebrews 1:2. "All is out of God and through Christ." All is through Christ. 1 Corinthians 8:6. "Christ is God's creative original." Revelation 3:14. "In a beginning was the Word, and the Word was toward God." John 1:1. "And the world came into being through him," through the Word. John 1:10. I forgot John 1:3. "Apart from it," that is the Word, that is him, "not one thing came into being." Philippians 2:7. "Being inherently in the form of God, he," Christ, "empties himself, taking the form of a slave, coming to be in the likeness of humanity." That's Philippians 2:7. That's a proof verse. These are all proof verses. "He's the image of the invisible God," Colossians 1:15. "The firstborn of every creature," also Colossians 1:15. "In him is all created," Colossians 1:16. Same verse, "all is created through him, and he is before all," Colossians 1:17. These are what you call scripture verses. These are what you call proof texts. And we who believe in the preexistence of Christ can point to these. Here's 13 verses I just named. They don't have one. Then what do? They explain the verses. They philosophize about the verses. They ask questions about the verses. They have conferences about the verses. They discuss the verses. They are forever learning about the verses. The main problem is they don't believe the verses. If that position had a proof verse, this is what it would have to look like. Before Abraham was, I wasn't. That's a proof verse. They don't have that because it says the opposite. Before Abraham was, I wasn't. Okay, yeah, you got me there. What's that verse again? Father, glorify me with a glory I did not have with you before the world was. Oh, boy, you got us there. That's a good one. Where's that verse? Oh, wait a minute. It's the opposite. The Son, through whom God does not make the eons. You got us there. I thought he made the eons through Christ. He didn't make. That's a proof verse. They don't have one of those, not one. This should be a red flag to anybody even considering this teaching, okay? 1 Corinthians 8:6, all is out of God and through Christ. Their proof verse, if they had it, would have to say something like, all is out of God and nothing is through Christ. Nothing is through Christ. There it is, Martin. Nothing is through Christ. There's my verse. Oh, boy. I'd have to deal with that. That would disprove the whole thing. They don't have that verse, but I have mine. In the beginning was the Word. Well, in the beginning was God, and the Word, the expression, did not exist until Bethlehem. That's their proof verse. But it doesn't exist, because that's not what it says. The world came into being through him. Their verse would have to say, if they had one declarative verse proving their point, their verse would have to say, the world did not come into being through him. How about Philippians 2:7? Being inherently in the form of God, he does not empty himself. He did not come to be in the likeness of humanity. That would have to be their verse, but it's not. He's not the image of the invisible God. He's not firstborn of every creature. Through him is nothing created. And lots of stuff is before him. Yeah, that'd be a good one. Colossians 1:17. Martin, look at this verse. Okay, what do you got? Lots of stuff is before him. Lots of stuff came before him. Oh, wow, I didn't see that one. How long has that been in there? Wait a minute, that's not what it says. It says he is before all. To anybody still considering this teaching, consider that there's not one verse. Not one. That defends their position. I learned the truth of the preexistence of Christ because of these 13, 14 verses. That's great to have those. I learned the truth through those verses 30 years ago. And it's gelled with my spirit. Because it made Christ's sacrifice even more magnificent. His obedience took on a whole new level. A whole new glory. And anything that came down the road that would take that away from him, murdered it. No. I would only consider it if somebody had a verse. Look at this verse. Nothing came out of him. Nothing came out of him. Look at that verse, Martin. Then I'd have to reconsider. But, oh, Martin, you have to watch this guy's video. No, I don't. Oh, Martin, Aaron Welch wrote another 100,000 word article. You need to read that and you'll reconsider your position. Nope, not going to read it. Does the guy have a verse? Does the guy have a verse that says Jesus Christ did not take the form of humanity. That the one who was created in the image of God did not take the form of humanity. Hey, let's just get to that verse. Show me that verse. Well, he doesn't have a verse like that. What's he got? Lots of explanations. What about Peter May? He asks lots of questions. You got to watch Peter's video. Why? Why do I have to watch it? Because he asks lots of questions and he gets into really interesting philosophy. It's interesting, Martin. How many times have I heard that? It's interesting. I don't give a crap how interesting it is. If you're going to try to dethrone a magnificent established truth, a maturely established truth that is established in the Word of God, you got to come with something. You can't come with the video. You can't come with a long article. I'm sorry, you can't come with that. You got to come with scripture, or you got to come with a translating issue. And if you don't have it, which you don't, then take this teaching of yours and put it in a hole and bury it. That's where it belongs. And I say all of these things. I promise you, I do. I say all these things in love.